Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Night. Of course, people should have seen it. It was in all the trailers and everything like that, but just thought I'd bring it a little closer to home. So anyway, what's up, everybody out there? How you doing? It's been a whole week since we rambled last week. It was a good show. It was a crazy show, but it's not going to be as lunatic as this show. Oh, my God. Give me a second here. I got to talk about this for a second. This just got to me. And look, I just stabbed myself with a pen. I'm outraged at this. First of all, I like water, okay? I love water. I don't know what all these people say. You know, oh, I don't drink water. Hey, that's cool. That's not your thing. Whatever. But me personally, I am a huge water fan. And I don't care. You know how people say, oh, water doesn't have a taste, you know, whatever. Yes, it does. It tastes like water. You know what water is. You know, if you taste something, it tastes like water. So, I mean, it doesn't have a taste, but you know water is water. So, anyway, I like water. You know, it's a hot day out. You're sweating. You know, clothes are sticking in places that, you know.
You don't exactly want them to stick.
Well, I don't know. I was going to say places that people usually don't see. But then again, I was like, this is Gore Girl, and I do flash a lot. Whatever. Anyway, so places, all right? Anyway. So, they stick in places, okay? God. Anyway, so I like to come in, you know, I'm sweating, you know, rip my clothes off. I like that taste of water, you know, watching it fill up the cup, watching it splash around the rim. Your mouth is watering. You're like, yeah, I'm going to have this. It's going to be a great taste. It's going to be cold. It's going to be water, man. It's going to be cold water. It's going to replenish my body. So, you know, I get there. I start sipping on it a little bit. Oh, and then I just down the cup, and water is so good. But what the heck? I swear to God, I'm going to come after you people. You guys are forcing me to. I swear to God. What is with flavored water? I don't want my water to taste like oranges. I don't want my water to taste like cranberry.
What do you have against orange-flavored water?
I like oranges. I like them as a separate entity. I like Orange Monster. I like, you know, and by the way, it's a shout-out to Monster. Please send Orange Monster to the Gore Girl Variety Hour at blogtalkradio.com/GG Show. I expect to see cases at my door. Anyway, so, yeah, I like Orange Monster. I like, you know, Orange Kool-Aid. I'm a fan of orange, the flavor orange. You know, I love Live Wire by Mountain Dew. By the way, send So anyway, you know, I love this. Yeah, it's good stuff. But I don't like it in water because water is water. Water, you're used to growing up, that's the taste that replenishes your body on a hot afternoon. You know, it fills you up. You worked your butt off. Whatever you're doing, you played outside, whatever. You know, it replenishes your body. You got this cold taste of water. But then I take a taste of water, right? And I don't know. I hate it when I don't know that it's flavored. I'm tricked, right? I go and I take a sip and I'm like, oh my God, what is this? What is this vile contraption in my hand? You have flavored my water. You have angered the non-flavoring water gods. Poseidon, stab them with yours. Oh, for God's sake. Seriously, people. I understand people don't like water. It doesn't have a taste. You know, our society nowadays, everybody needs a taste. They need that quick high. They need that quick adrenaline rush. Screw you, man. Getting straight water, right? That's all I'm saying. I just had to say that because I just drank some water and it tasted like oranges. And I was like, oh, my God! There's oranges in my water! I literally almost choked to death. I swear to God. It was a horrible thing. It's like Yed had to, like, he was hitting me on the back with baseball bats. Good thing we got the Louisville Slugger in the studios at all times, because I swear to God, folks, I wouldn't be here right now.
I would have thought I'd be using it against you, of all people.
I don't know. I mean, I usually hit Yed with it. I don't know. Today, the tables were turned. It was crazy. It was crazy, but it saved my life. Thank you, Louisville Slugger Bat Company. Please send the Louisville Sluggers. Just teasing. Oh, God, guys. Oh. I spit out this orange-flavored water. Anyway, I had to talk about one thing real fast before I get in. To what the show really is about tonight, because people, the show tonight is Batman. Oh my freaking God, it's Batman. But anyway, gotta talk about something real fast. I just found out about this. I did not know about this. I cannot believe, I am surprised, because I usually know all about the horror happenings that are going on. I know what's happening where, who's screwing who, and all this crap. But everyone's like, oh my God, she knows. I know who you are. Anyway, I found this out. I have to say thanks to the guys at FearNet for letting me know this, because I was totally clueless on this. I have no idea why. You know, you figured I'd be up to date on this, especially it's one of my favorite movies. But every year in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, they have Blob Fest. That's right, folks, the original movie, The Blob. They have it at the Colonial Theater, which is the original theater where the famous Blob Attack was shot. So, I don't know. I found out about this. I'm like, a Blob Fest? What? And I didn't know. Oh, my God, I have to go. So, I'm totally, Gore Girls, totally booking that and things to do next year. I am totally going to Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, to the Colonial Theater for Blob Fest. Apparently, they've got, like, contests, parades, reenactments. Obviously, they show a screening of the film. But, oh, my God, guys. We got to check that out. So, I think everybody next year, I think we should make a pilgrimage to Blob Fest in Pennsylvania. So, I will definitely be there next year. I hope to see all you guys there. Speaking of movies from the 50s, I talked about this last time, and I just had to mention it because I had seen another trailer for it while I was watching The Dark Knight, but of course they're remaking The Day the Earth Stood Still, which I called this like years ago, before they were even talking about a remake. I'm like, dude, for some reason I have this gut feeling they're going to remake The Day the Earth Stood Still. I don't know why, I don't know where, I don't know when, I don't know who, but they're going to do it. Sure enough, they do it, and the first scene I saw ever, I didn't even hear any buzz that they were doing it, right? I watched this one, like, daily that they had, like, stored somewhere. And I'm watching this, and I'm going, oh, my God, it's The Day the Earth Stood Still. It's the remake. It's the remake. I told you it was coming. It's coming. It's here. And sure enough, it's here. It's got Keanu Reeves, Jennifer Connelly. Keanu plays the alien. Of course, all of you should have seen the 1951 version, so you should know your stuff. But it's basically about the alien visitor and his giant robot thing who visit Earth. And Keanu's playing the alien. But it also has, like I said, Jennifer Connelly, Jaden Smith, which is Will's boy. Will's brood is in the film. But, I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of debating. Of course, I have to see it because I'm going to have to review it for everybody. But I don't know, guys. Why? Why do you got to do that? Why you got to stab my heart out? Huh? Why you got to remake films? I just don't get it. But anyway, money, that's why. All right, guys, we got to move on because This is itching at me, man. This is itching at me. This is good stuff right here. This is good stuff. Oh, my God. First of all, guys, I'm going to give you the official 100% thorough Gore Girl review on The Dark Knight. Oh, my God. Oh, did I give you the thing?
No,
I didn't. No, I don't need it yet. I don't need it yet. I totally, I don't even have to say I'm verklempt. I'm verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, my God. It's actually and surprising. He's actually wearing the wig and the makeup right now. He wants to reenact that.
I do.
He's like, I do. Shut up.
You know,
wait. Wait. You know what? You know what I hear?
Batman!
with the Batman theme song right there from the Adam West show. I had to play it. I had to play it. Techie had to, like, just do it now. Just do it now. Because I was going to play it a little later, but he's like, just do it now. Just do it now. So, oh my God, that was great. Because that is going to get you revved up for our Batman extravaganza. Like I said, guys, I got to review The Dark Knight for you. Oh my God. That is what I got to say about this. That's my review right there. Oh, my God. But
wow, that was a quick
and we're done. It was great talking to everybody tonight. No, oh, my God. Directed by Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan did Batman Begins. Very cool. I actually reviewed this on Ghost Me and Demon Hunter earlier, but I didn't get to flesh out what I really want to talk to you guys about. So we're going balls to the wall tonight, guys. But anyway, Christopher Nolan directed Batman Begins, which, by the way, I didn't like Batman Begins, but I'll tell you why in a little bit. Starring, of course, Christian Bale, Heath Ledger, Michael Caine, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Aaron Eckhart, blah, 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 blah. But we were talking to G&B about, you know, Batman or whatever, and Sean, the Ghost Man, had posed an interesting question. He said, you know, I was digging the movie, Gigi, but what's up with the voice thing? I couldn't understand him half the time. Well, I was explaining to him, and I'll explain to you guys, that in the original, Batman was actually came out in the late 30s. The original Batman serials from the 40s and 50s, actually, it was the idea then that Batman, Bruce Wayne would talk one way, and when he was portraying Batman, he would change his voice to almost, you know, so to almost perceive that he was a different person, so people wouldn't figure out he was Bruce Wayne. So he actually changed his voice whenever he was Batman. Well, I think it's very cool that Chris Nolan and Christian Bale and all those guys decided, you know, hey, let's try this out. Let's try to, you know, go back, give pay a little respect to the original series of Batman and have him talk like that. But seriously? Seriously? What? First of all, I think it's great, but you couldn't understand Christian Bale. I mean, seriously? He had, and I was saying this earlier, he had all these really deep, like, meaningful lines, like, this is humanity, and blah, 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 talking about mankind and you know, the fallacy of our own hearts and getting inside our brains and, you know, how society should be and the de-evolution of people, talking about all this great stuff, but you couldn't understand him. I seriously didn't know if he was actually speaking about, like, deep things, prophetic things, or if he was ordering, like I said, fries from Mickey D's drive-thru. What? What? You want fries with that? What?
Maybe he was.
What was that human fallacy thing? And a Big Mac? What? Ah? Jesus, Christian, drop it, okay? I can't stand it. It was annoying everybody in the crowd, and I just couldn't stand it. But you know what? I'm getting to be a little less harsh on Christian Bale, okay? I don't like Christian Bale. I don't find him particularly entertaining. I don't like him as Batman, but I did not like Batman Begins at all. I'll just say that. Like, I like certain things about it, but that was it. But I actually don't mind him in this movie. He's actually pretty decent. I actually am getting used to him being Batman, not so bad. The voice thing's got to go, though. That's just I'm serious. I'm, like, getting ready to, like, pull an Errol Flynn on the screen. It's just, it's got to go. But, the voice thing besides, you know, that garbage, Christian Bale's okay, and I'm getting used to him, whatever. But, of course, guys, he is totally not the star of this movie. Totally not the star of this movie. He may be Batman, but oh no, he is far outshined by, oh my God, Heath Ledger. Oh my God, people. Okay. Heath Ledger, this was an amazing part for Heath. All I can say is wow. Wow, wow, wow. He was absolutely amazing. I mean, Jack Nicholson, I have to give him props, man. I love Jack. I love everything he's done, especially The Shining. I mean, he's the most twisted actor there is. But, you know, his portrayal of Joker was awesome. It was by far phenomenal. But Heath is so twisted. Oh, my God. It is so, it's like psychologically disruptive. That especially in the nurse scene, there's this total scene where you pan to him and he's in the nurse's outfit. Oh, my God. It was just freaky as fuck. It was crazy. He's absolutely freaking nuts. I loved it. Seriously, I was smiling. I was, like, sadistically smiling at all, like, the horridness and just how screwed up he is. It was awesome. And I'm not even going to get into a plot, because if I say anything about a plot, it's just going to ruin the whole story. Because the story is amazing, guys. It was so well written. And besides being well written, it was well staged. But it was so well written. I mean, you have your standard superhero movies. You got A to B to C, the good guy chases the bad guy robs banks, does bad things, steals the girl, they get the girl back, blah, 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 they kill the bad guy, kiss at the end, it's all good. That's the usual superhero fare. And I don't have a problem with it, you know, but this movie blew that formula out of the water. Oh, my God. Seriously, the plot rocked. It had so many twists and turns in it. And, I mean, even if you're not a Batman fan, if you're not a superhero fan, if you're not even a fan of action movies, go see the movie just for the plot and how well-written it is. I mean, you seriously don't know what's going on. Like, I'll just give you a basic gist of the plot. And this is about seriously as much as I can give you. But, okay, Gotham's under this new reign, this new dark reign. And Batman, Commissioner Gordon, and the new Gotham District Attorney, Harvey Dent, are basically cleaning up the streets for mob activity. So they're trying to haul all these guys in, take care of business. Unfortunately, the mob hires this new kid to strike back. And they don't know that this mad dog they've unleashed would actually bring Gotham to ashes and cause their reign to end. So here they go. They let this guy out. And they have no idea the mass destruction that's going to happen and the total lunatic stuff that's going to go on in Gotham. And basically, their time is over. Their reign of evil is over. And I don't know. What like I was saying earlier, what's the gist of The Dark Knight? How to deal with the Joker, man. That's the whole freaking movie. Because this guy is freaking crazy. I loved it. Oh, my God. I mean, it was crazy. And like I said, the twists and turns are nuts. You can't get better than that. It was like, you're watching this movie, and like I said, if you're a fan of action, if you just want to, you know, kick the summer heat, you want to get inside, if you know that you just want to go see a movie and be entertained for a few hours, I mean, that's pretty much what you would get into. And, you know, to beat the summer heat, like, I'm sorry, I got distracted for a second. I'm like, blah, Joker. No, but seriously, if you want to beat the summer heat, you want to see an action flick, you want to be entertained, go see this movie. The plot is awesome, guys. And I have to give it because Nolan, and I don't know if that's his brothers, his cousin, I'm not sure who it is that wrote it with him, but they did a fantastic job. And basically, I don't know, I kind of got to give Nolan some props here because what he did with Batman Begins, even though I'm not a fan of the movie, is he basically is telling us to forget the 1960s Adam West show. He's basically telling us to forget the cartoons from the 90s. He's telling us to forget 1989's Batman and, you know, 92's Batman. He's telling us to forget all the other movies. He just wants us to remember the comic books. He wants us to go back to the original serials of the 40s and 50s when Batman was on radio shows, you know, when he was a cultural figure in America. They want to go back before all the kitsch and the, you know, the Yahooism that they created with most of the characters. So they want to take it back to the original roots, the dark emotional turbulence of some of these characters. And, man, I think they did a bang-up job because, oh, my God. Like I said, the plot, I can't even get into it, but you're going to walk into this. And I was surprised because, okay, there's so much hype built up about this movie, right? This is like the movie. Everyone's talking about it. It's the movie of the year, blah, 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 all this stuff, Heath Ledger. And I walk into it, and I'm like, okay. Because you know how movies with hype are. They don't live up to it, and you're like, oh, man, you're disappointed at the end. You're like, well, that just, you know, sucked. What am I going to do? I go into it, and about 45 minutes in, right, the first 45 minutes, I'm like, all right. I mean, Heath Ledger was great, but it wasn't that over-the-top performance that I was looking for. And I was like, oh, man, this movie's not going to live up to the hype. You know, this sucks because I'm a huge Batman fan. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to be disappointed. I've been looking forward to this. Oh, my God. About 45 minutes in, yeah. The freaking, I don't even know what to say, but all of a sudden, the awesome plot kicked in, and it launched Heath into this, like, overdrive. He was absolutely freaking insane. He was this lunatic cloud, absolutely nuts. Like, I swear to God, it was frightening. And I was telling people this. I said, you know, there's some characters in movies. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to, like, interview him as that character, be alone with them, see what's going on. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. I would not want to be in a room with him. I would be like, okay, let me out now. Thanks for playing. I mean, Gore Girl's insane, but Heath Ledger's performance, wow. Wow, guys. And I mean, his whole thing, just the stories and the way he manipulated people and his thoughts, oh, my God, it was insane. It was nuts. But that's what I'm saying, is about 45 minutes in, all of a sudden it blew the hype out of the water. It was great. It was phenomenal. It was what I was looking for in the movie. And, of course, the movie was definitely propelled in the heights because of Heath's performance. And I don't know. I just it was nuts. But I do have to sort of bring a somber note in. And Do you hear that, guys? Do you hear that little bugle music playing? That's for Heath. That's for Heath. Hold on. No, seriously. Seriously, guys, that is definitely bugle music for Heath Ledger, because it is so sad and such a somber tone to say. I mean, it's so bitter. It's just a bitter note, because he's so right for this part, and he played it so well and so phenomenal. And he could have given us, like, tons more of crazy Joker appearances, you know, psychoticness, just absolute delving into the human subconscious and bringing us the crap and the grit and just the stuff that we don't want to deal with that his character is. And, I mean, it's inside all of us. And he could have brought us so many of those and so many more movies, but unfortunately he passed away so suddenly and so young. So seriously, rest in peace, Heath Ledger, because I hate to say it, but this was the best performance of his career, and it was the last performance of his career. So that was a little somber note there, but I don't know. Let's shake it up. Let's get back. Let's get out of it, you know. Heath is smiling down on us. He's like, oh, that crazy Gore girl, I should have locked her up. And anyway, yeah, he should have, you know, put that restraining order into effect. But anyway, but the Joker, man, oh, my God, this takes the movie. This is the movie. Because Joker is so much more skilled and slick in this virgin. Whoa! I don't know. He might be skilled in the virgin. I don't know. Wow, that brings a whole new level. I'm going to watch Dark Knight next time and look at Joker and be like, hey, how you doing? I'd be like, how you doing? You want to go Chuck E. Cheese or what? I hear Ringling Brothers got an extra ring available, huh? Huh? Oh, my God. Well, he might be skilled and slick in the virgin. I don't know. But then again, we should have a poll. How many people are skilled and slick in virgins? If you're a virgin, you can't answer, but, I mean... Notice the phone line for dead. Everyone's like, we don't want to answer. We're afraid. No. We're coming for you. We're coming. Tiki and I are coming for all the virgins in America. We're going to pose the question if the Joker was slick and skilled. Anyway. Seriously, though, his intellect and the fact that you can't clearly see what's up his sleeves was disturbing, guys. I mean, it left you tense. His humor was hysterical, but it was demented. And I love it. Oh, my God. He was just incredible. It's like, and what I was saying about the plot was, you're watching this story, and you're so sure it's going to go A to B to C to D, like all the other superhero movies. And all of a sudden, it's insane. You don't know who the good guys are. You don't know who the bad guys are. You don't know who's in control. You don't know. People are pulling rugs out from under you. You're like, wait, that's not, holy crap. And then he did, wait, and then he did that? Oh, my God. And then he's over there. No. But it was awesome. It really was. And I have to admit, Gore Girl being the movie buff that I am, I could spot a twist a mile away. And there was a couple things in Dark Knight that I was like, oh, wow, I wasn't anticipating that. And I thought that was really cool. But the coolest thing I loved about the Joker scenario is that I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to ruin it for people. But the way they have it set up at the end, they have it sort of set up where there might be future Joker appearances. And I don't want to, like, ruin it all the way, but that is what I loved, because Batman's villains are supposed to be reoccurring. Being a huge Batman fan, you know this. It's not supposed to be one adventure with these villains and they're done. These are supposed to be reoccurring themes throughout Batman's reign, Batman's thing. This is what he's supposed to do. And this is good to see that all these people are coming back. I mean, there was a cameo by Cillian Murphy, who was the Scarecrow at the beginning. I mean, he was Scarecrow in Batman Begins, but he came back in the beginning of the movie. And it's good to see this. They're supposed to reoccur. And they're supposed to, you know, continue. You know, they're supposed to – I want them to make me smile and all the continued mayhem they're going to cause. So this is what I love, bringing these guys back. This is what it's about. And I love Nolan's vision. I have to say, Nolan, props to you. this is an awesome vision for this film. Aaron Eckhart was phenomenal as Harvey Dent, Two-Face. He was the best. It was way better than any version I've ever seen of Two-Face. Tommy Lee Jones being the worst version. What was that? That was like a sideshow act gone wrong. But this story was so well played, so meticulous. There was just these emotional spikes. And, I mean, seriously, it was like tormenting yourself. You know, we have our own fears of loss and displacement. This was like, torturous fodder for our own fears to play off of us. This was just, it was horrible going through it with him. And I mean, I loved it though. It was so deep. It was so gut wrenching. It was so like, yeah, you know what? We're not going to make this guy a clown. You know, we've already got, you know, lunatic characters. We've already got, you know, a guy in a mask running around being a protector. We're not going to give you the sideshow aspect. We're not going to give you the cast. We're going to give you some real stuff. We're going to slap you in the face with this because this could be you. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know. When he switches to Two-Face, I really hope that's not me, but, you know, I kind of like my face. Kind of like the flesh to stay on the bone. I don't mind eating flesh off of other people's bones, but, I mean, I'd like my own flesh to stay in one spot. So, anyway, but, you know, this was great. People died. You couldn't see all the slaps in the face coming. I mean, Gary Oldman turning into the commissioner we all know and love was a strong bit of story for Batman freaks to munch on, guys. And I don't mean munch on virgins. I said munching on the story, all right? Stay with me! Stay with me! This is backed by Oldman's precision in the role, man. He was awesome. And like I said, you know, of course, Michael Caine. Caine and Freeman are awesome. They're great additions to it. It's a powerhouse story. I mean, it was a visual high the whole time. I loved it, man. I freaking loved it. It was demented humor. You had massacre, mayhem, things blowing up. You had emotional storylines. You had great directing, great cinematography. You had freaking Heath Ledger put on a performance of his lifetime. A short lifetime, albeit, but his lifetime, man. Come on, this movie rocked. And, I mean, Batman Begins, I did not like Batman Begins at all. I didn't like the vision of it. I didn't like the way it played out. And, I mean, I wasn't a fan of Batman Begins, but this movie was mind-blowing. It was awesome. And, I mean, I'm not saying this is, like, the best superhero movie ever made, but, guys, this is one of those times when a new vision actually worked. I've seen so many people try to reinvent superheroes and it never works, but this one, gotta say, guys, it's looking good. But, I don't know. There's just one thing I have to say, and I don't want to offend anybody out there, because far be it for Gore Girl to offend people. But Maggie Gyllenhaal, can I just say, poor girl? I mean, she's a great actress, okay? I love this chick. She's been in all these, like, indie films. Her brother's Jake, you know, he does all this good stuff. She's a great actress. I love the girl. But where in the hell was the makeup crew for this movie? Oh, my God. I am so sorry, Maggie, but what the hell they did to you in this movie was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. These close-ups. She did not look like Bruce Wayne's love interest. She looked like Bruce Wayne's pet dog, the Basset Hound. Really? I expected him to start putting a collar on her and stroking her. Good girl. Good girl. Good Rachel. Good Rachel. Go fetch me a DA. Go fetch me a DA. No. Oh, my God. What was that? Seriously, girl. Next movie you do, whatever you sign on for, I don't even know what it's going to be. Girl, make sure they cast you in good light, because that was horrible. I don't know what to say. I'm actually frightened. I peed myself. It wasn't because of the Joker. It wasn't because of anything happening. It was because I had to see the bags under Maggie's eyes and these cheeks that just drifted down to her knees. Talk about when you get older, your boobs hang low. I think it's Maggie's cheeks. She had the cheeks from hell. Talk about blob fest. Let's just go right now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm on a verge of insanity. Watching the Joker just set me off on this stuff. But, oh, God, guys. Seriously, you need to go see Dark Knight. It was a great addition. It lived up to the hype. And really, the reason to see it, the absolute reason to see it, is Heath Ledger. Great performance. I never suspected to see Joker in that way, and that was really cool. And, of course, the really cool plot. Because, I mean, it wasn't, you know, an Oscar-worthy plot, but it was a plot that didn't have you go, oh, crap, I just paid $9 for this movie. You're like, hey, that was kind of cool. Yeah. So you got to say yeah on that one. But, of course, I got to give a shout-out. There's a shout-out here, too, since we're on the Batman extravaganza. Okay, first off, I got to give a shout-out to Michael Keaton. Oh, my God, I love you, Michael. I love you. Oh, my God. I'm like hitting my chest right now. I love you, brother. Oh, my God. Michael Keaton, man, to me, that is the best Batman. I know, there's some people that are not a fan of Michael Keaton. But you know what? To me, I don't care. He's the best Batman there was. Because he didn't just, most of the actors out there that do Bruce Wayne and Batman, they're either good at Bruce Wayne and bad at Batman, or they're good at Batman and bad at Bruce Wayne. Michael Keaton was good at both. You believed him as Bruce Wayne. He pulled the role off perfectly. And, of course, he was a kick-butt Batman, all right? Tim Burton's vision was amazing. I love the 89 film. Jack Nicholson as Joker? Oh, my God, a different version, you know? Heath's a little more twisted. Jack's a little more light and playful, but it's still, it's effed up, man. I still wouldn't want to be left alone in the room with Jack either. But that's for other reasons. So anyway, we won't talk about that. I'm just kidding. I love you, Jack. But it's good times. Good times, guys. And, of course, you got Batman Returns. You know, you introduce Catwoman. You introduce Penguin. I'm sorry, but Danny DeVito is Penguin. When he bites that guy's nose, I laugh hysterically every time. There's blood, like, spraying everywhere. I'm like, oh, my God, that's great. Oh, my God, it's the best mole. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't stand it. I just, like, yanked my headphones out. I'm dead. Oh. But anyway, oh, my God. Then what do we have? Batman Forever? Oh, please, gag me with a spoon. I hate Val Kilmer. I have no qualms with saying this on air either. Everyone's like, oh, you have to be politically correct because you're on air. You can't hate anybody because you'll cut people. Val, you know I dislike you. What? Let's not play, okay? Let's not play around. I dislike you. You dislike me. I dislike you. It's fine. Good thing. But he's like, who the hell is Gore Girl? Like, you know what? Shut up! Because I say! No. Val Kilmer, seriously, I just liked him. I don't like him as Bruce Wayne. I don't like him as Batman. I don't like him as a human being. So, hey, whatever. My producer's cackling in the background. She must know Val on a personal level. Anyway.
I won't ask how.
Was she a virgin? And he was, well, I couldn't even imagine he'd be skilled and slick at that either. He's not skilled slick at anything, really. So, everyone's like, oh my God, you should have our bashing Val Kilmer. No. I'm not bashing Val Kilmer. Wait, yes, I am. So, anyway, I'll stop playing around, all right? No, I just like Batman Forever, not really because of Val Kilmer. Yeah, I don't like him. I mean, it's not just I don't like him in other stuff. I did like him in a couple movies he did, but he wasn't a very believable Batman. I didn't dig it. But the real reason I didn't like Batman Forever is because it really took that 60s campy Adam West thing over the top. It really took Batman and said, hey, we're going to just throw bright colors in here, and we're just going to make this a summer blockbuster, where there are some big names in it, and who cares about the Batman storyline? Who cares if Batman's believable? Who cares if anybody even likes Batman? We're going to make some bucks off this name. So I didn't like it. It was just too over the top, too crazy. And, I mean, yeah, it hit some funny parts, but come on. Jim Carrey's the Riddler. Come on. I mean, no, Nicole Kidman, congrats, by the way, on your baby. I believe I know your the godmother. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I was playing. Inside joke. Anyway, so, my producer is losing it. She's cackling in there. It's hysterical. She's like, oh, my God, I know what she's talking about. Anyway, no, seriously, Nicole Kidman, I like her, but just everything about that movie just wasn't clicking. It just wasn't clicking right. I don't know. The movie was more about hype and McDonald's, you know, Happy Meal toys than it was about a movie. God, do I even want to mention this? Batman and Robin? Skim over it. Batman and Robin was probably as equally bad as Batman Forever. I like George Clooney. He's a handsome man, kind of cool, kind of funny. Well, you're not Batman. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. And, I mean, Chris O'Donnell's Robin. Come on. Then he had to throw Alicia Keys. Yeah, I wish she was in there. She might make it better. Alicia Silverstone in there. I mean, I like those actors in different things. But this movie was just as over the top as Batman Forever. And it was, the problem with it is it was all about hype. It was all about money. You could tell in the production values, in the way they handled the story, in the way they handled, you know, the acting. You could tell by everything in Batman Forever and Batman and Robin that it was about hype and it was about making money. So, I don't know. Plus, Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger, come on. Do I look retarded? Really? Really? I'm going to buy this? No, not at all. But, of course, we have the animated series from the 80s and 90s, which rocked. We had there was Batman, the animated series, which, like, won a bunch of Emmys? I don't know. I'm still on Virgins. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing anymore, guys. Just take off the show. Burn the show to the ground. I don't even know what's happening. Val Kilmer got me all befuddled now. I hope he calls in now. He's like, who the hell are you? Why do you dislike me so much? You know what? Don't make me start, all right? I liked you in like 2 80s movies you did, but that's about it. And you were a jackass in Willow, okay? Should've been nicer. That's what I'm saying. Don't be calling people peck all the time. I'll show you what a peck is, bitch. We can say that on air, right?
Of course.
I think it's part of the thing. They say it on TV all the time, so yeah, whatever. Whatever, I don't even care anymore. Twat, 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 twat. Bring me down, FCC, I don't care. God, everyone's cackling. Am I going to get arrested or something? It's like everyone knows something I don't. Like, oh, she doesn't know there's cuffs waiting behind her. Whatever.
I've been sworn not to tell you.
I've been sworn not to tell you you're getting hauled off to jail in the paddy wagon after this. That's okay. Whatever. I'll make Val my biatch. It's all good. This is great. Oh, God. No, so anyway, and I mean, the Batman cartoons were awesome, okay? You had Batman the Animated Series. You had, you know, The Batman, which was my favorite cartoon version of it. You had that crazy Batman Beyond, which is a futuristic version of Batman. So, I mean, and he's had so many animated movies, but I like to see Chris Nolan's version in Dark Knight. I like to see Batman coming back to that, to the original serials of the 40s and 50s, the original vision of Bob Kane and Bill Finger, the guys that created him. I mean, I think that's great. I think it's awesome to see it go back to that. I think it's awesome to see that these characters have complex storylines. It's not these goofball scenarios that somebody just rolled together to try to entertain people and make a quick buck. So I thought it was really cool. But I think everybody needs to go see Dark Knight. This is the Batman thing. And because I said, and I don't know. Seriously, it was fun, though. Why would you not go to the theater and watch something fun? What are you going to go to the theater and see, like, Saw 65? I mean, all these crappy remakes out, all these crappy remakes of Japanese films that didn't need to be redone in the first place, all these, you know, stupid prequels, all these retarded things. Hey, Rob, how about you make Halloween 2? I know you're going to do it, buddy. Why don't you remake it? Because I'm looking so forward to that piece of crap. Oh, my God. Seriously. So why would you go to the theater and watch this stuff? Why? Why wouldn't you go to the theater to have fun? Isn't that the whole point of going to see a movie, is to have fun and watch something that stimulates you, that entertains you? Yes, this may not be intellectual fodder. You may not be able to dissect this for years to come. This may not be like, you know, a melodrama like Gosford Park or something. You know, this may not be, you know, anything along those lines, but this is a fun film. This is an entertaining film. It's well staged. It was well acted. And Heath Ledger put out an amazing performance. I think you should see it for that. So now that I've just basically threatened you to go see it, we'll wait. Go ahead. Wait, the movie's like 3 hours. Anyway, so moving on. Yo, we're going to go to commercial break. Because I'm going to go yell at my producers more about this Val Kilmer thing. I want the little guy on the phone. I want the little peck on the phone. Go to commercial break.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Kids with chicken pox love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs' kids love to bite.
Picking it up on the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go.
When men bite dogs, they do, they say.
But when kids bite dogs, they yell.
All the commercials to me. I find it quite funny. It's like an interlude. He gets the organ out and he's like, all right, kids. And he starts playing. It's great. I love
hot
it. Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids love to bite.
That's all he gets.
No, give him a little more. Give him an inch more.
Maybe next week.
I was like, I don't have that many inches again. Stop it. This show just got bad. It got wrong. Just got wrong. Like 10 minutes ago. It's been wrong since they put us on air. How dare you put Gigi on air? You've just exposed the innocence to, like, all sorts of bad stuff. But, crap. Wait, do you hear that? Do you hear that? Oh, God, it's Arm of the Week! Arm also known as Holly. Woo! Oh my God! And Holly.
Protection.
Protection. I like protection. Anti-lightning.
Luck.
Luck. Ooh, dream magic. Yeah. Did you know that hollies are shrubs and trees with red berries, commonly found in Asia, Europe, North Africa, and the Americas?
It has several different leaf patterns and colors, but just think the Christmas holiday that you see in the
leaf. Ooh, holiday! Holly berries are mildly toxic and usually cause vomiting and diarrhea when consumed by humans. Now I know what my problem is. Go ahead.
There are several species of holly used like caffeine-rich herbal teas and energy drinks.
Ooh. Did you know Southeastern Native Americans use it as a ceremonial stimulant and as an emetic known as the black drink? That doesn't sound appetizing. Do you know that emetic is something used to induce by diarrhea and vomiting from ingesting the holly berries? No, it induces vomiting.
Oh, but actually, the Persian colonies of the herb were made uses, especially in
rituals. Ooh, interesting. So they had rituals around puking. Okay. Bat wings or holly is a masculine herb associated with the planet Mars and the element of fire.
Guards against poison, lightning, and the evil spirit.
Ooh. When planted around the house, it protects inhabitants from outer influences such as mischievous sorcerers.
If you sprinkle infused or distilled holly with water on newborns, it protects them.
Ooh, I get it. Holly, holy. Ha! It's close enough. You can throw it at wild animals to make them lie down quietly and leave you alone. It works even if you don't physically hit them with it. You don't physically beat the crap out of them. Move on.
You can carry your dog's wings to throw good luck, which is why it's playing at Christmas time.
Christmas. Being a plant with masculine properties, it will bring great luck when carried by a male.
So I should carry it then.
You should carry it, especially when you're beating on animals and inducing vomiting. Woo! Holly! Herb of the week! Woo! Herb of the Week. Herb of the Week is sponsored by Rosina and Sanctuary Crystals. Thank you, guys. Woohoo! Herb of the Week. Oh, my God, that was great. I'm going to eat that stuff now.
I want to.
I know. I'm interested because that's very cool. You know, the whole Native American rituals in America and stuff. And, I mean, you know a lot about that. You know, you're studying the Native American. You're in the path of shamanism. So I think that's really neat, all the, you know, ancestry and the rituals that Native Americans have. So I would actually like to learn how they use that in a ceremony, you know, in a ritual, the whole vomiting aspect. I mean, I'm sure that would bring you, like, translucent visions and things, but I'm kind of interested,
well,
like...
I believe that it was used as, like, a purification act.
See...
It would be kind of like if you were to do a ritual, like, washing yourself, you know, kind of like Muslims, you know,
that would,
like, before prayer.
That would make
sense.
It's
kind of the same thing. You know,
okay.
You cleanse yourself before you enter your sacred circle, sacred space, so, you know, you're clean.
See, that would actually make... Yeah, that would make sense, because I think I read that it's medical uses, like if you swallowed something that you weren't supposed to eat, something poisonous, you would swallow that and puke all of it up
right.
to save yourself. So
or
that
charcoal.
Would make sense.
Charcoal works good too.
Charcoal works? Really?
Yeah. Like.
You've eaten much charcoal in your life?
Well, back in the day when I was working aircraft mechanic, I did ingest some jet fuel and they gave me charcoal to puke it back out.
Interesting. I'm going to always have a handy bag of charcoal laying around. I'm sorry, you just ate orange flavored water? Did you need to vomit it up? Here!
Charcoal smoothie.
Here, either eat this, yeah, it'll be like the Matrix. Take what's in my left hand, or take what's in my right hand. In my right hand is charcoal. In my left hand is holly. Pick one and throw up. Bah! God, that's great. I like that. That's good stuff. Oh my God, we've only got a short amount of time, guys. And, I was thinking to myself, you know, we're staying in this Batman theme, right? And they're thinking, well, you know, we talked about the shows, talked about how cool The Dark Knight is, how awesome Heath Ledger is, rest in peace. And I was thinking, well, what would kind of go with it? Because we haven't, you know what we haven't done in a while? We haven't just told them a legend. Remember how we were starting, we told Resurrection Mary? You know, we haven't just told them a story as it was. And so I was like, okay, well... I guess we could get around it. Oh, I'm hearing squealing from outside.
They want to hear the story. I want to hear the story. I like stories.
I'm like, I'm hoping it's squealing. Otherwise, somebody's eating charcoal and they're putting it at the wrong end. I don't know. The squealing sounded like something from Deliverance. Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. please remove the charcoal. It's the other end. Now we have to give directions to people how to ingest the charcoal. Wrong end, Sherlock. Anyway. Everyone's like, oh, my God, I want to. You know what we should do? And actually, a fan actually wrote in and suggested this. I don't know why. I didn't know why at first. I should say I didn't know at first. I know now. A fan wrote in and said, why don't you guys, while you're doing the show, post like a webcast or something, like that we can actually see you guys doing the show, because you guys are so funny and I can just imagine the faces and, you know, the producers and what's going on in the background. They're like, oh my God, you guys should totally do like a live video feed while you're doing the show. And I was like, who would want to see us? And then now, just now, I figured out why. Because we're insane and there's so many insane things going on. And they probably actually want to see where we're getting this idea of charcoal from. They're probably like, oh my God, somebody really like pushing charcoal, you know, up there? Really? What? Are there virgins playing all over the place? What's happening? They just want to know. They're interested. So we'll work on that, guys. We'll try to get a video feed.
Does that mean I need more technology?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That means you'll have to work harder. You know, you have to get on the bamboo bike and pedal as fast as you can to get the video feed to stay up and running so that all the fans can watch the video. I'd be like, you're not turning hard enough. We're just getting a flicker. Keep going. They took our chair. Anyway, everyone's like, oh my God, they just went handicapped just now. We've always been this way, guys. So if this is your first time listening to GG Hour, we make no apologies for how we are. We're insane, and we just like to have fun. And that's what the point of the show is it not? The point of the show and what we want you guys to feel out there, I don't know if we specified this at some point during a rating, but what we want you guys to feel was like you're sitting on a couch, drinking beer, having fun, listening to horror stories, talking about movies, talking about ghosts, you know, talking about whatever's going on around the world, anything, just having fun, telling jokes, being goofy with your buddies. That's what we wanted to feel the show to be. So, yeah, we'll talk about serious stuff from time to time, but, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of humor in there for you guys. But anyway, what we got, like 12 minutes? Let's see, can I do a speed cram of this, or should I just keep rambling?
I want to hear stories.
He wants to hear stories! Turn down the lights, kids. It's now time for the story time corner with Gore Girl. Yay! Well, kids... I really do feel, why is everyone cranking up? My producers are on the floor. Techie Yen is hanging off the desk. What is happening? I've lost my crew. They're gone. Anyway. All right, guys. Let me inhale my orange-flavored water real fast. Hold on a second. Anyway. All right, here we go. I'm sorry if that was loud, guys. But you know, I'm trying to get going. We got like 10 minutes, and I ramble. Anyway. So, I was thinking, Batman, everyone's still candling. What's happening? Anyway, so, I was thinking to myself, Batman, right? Let's follow this Batman theme. And I was like, you know, who's kind of like Batman? The flying around, the man-shaped thing with the ears. And then it hit me, Mothman. I don't know how many of you out there know about the Mothman or the whole history of the Mothman or everything that goes with it. So, since I only got about 10 minutes, I'm going to be kind of quick about it. We could get into it in the future. There's actually people that try to hunt the Mothman, and there's actual people that have done documentaries and movies and videos and all sorts of things about him. So we will have guests on future shows about the Mothman. So this isn't like the only time we're going to talk about it. But hold on a second. I dropped my lucky thing. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, so the Mothman, okay, guys? This was a name given to a being that was sort of hanging around the Point Pleasant area of West Virginia. And this happened between 1966 and 1967. It was basically a year span. It was like November of 66 to December of 67. Most people had said, eyewitnesses, that it was a winged man-sized creature with large reflective red eyes and large moth-like wings. The creature appeared to have no head with its eyes set into its chest. There's so many people. I mean, I've heard so many people talk about it. There's the Mothman Festival every year that takes place. Ghostly Tacos, Man Demon Hunter, a bunch of people go hang out there and listen to the speakers and, you know, just go celebrate the convention and the whole fest. And, you know, there's a giant statue that they've erected for the Mothman. So you know, that's a popular spot to hang out at. But pretty much this is the history. Now turn down the lights, folks, because it's kind of spooky. It's kind of scary. Turn down the lights. Nice visualization. Techie yet pretended to turn lights off. Good times. I'm in the mood now. Ready? So anyway, okay. About November 1966, these two married couples that were actually from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, they were driving in the car, and they were heading back. They were passing the West Virginia Ordnance Works, which was an abandoned World War II TNT factory. And they were a couple miles away from Point Pleasant. So they were driving late at night. All of a sudden, they see these two red lights in the shadows by the old generator plant near the factory gate. So they stop, and they're like, well, let's go see what it is, right? They get out of the car, and reportedly, they discover that the lights were glowing red eyes of a large animal. They said it was shaped like a man, but bigger, maybe 6.5 or 7 feet tall with big wings folded against its back. Well, of course, they were terrified, so they jumped in the car and raced back to town to get the sheriff. And as they're driving down Route 62, the creature supposedly chased them at speeds exceeding 100 miles an hour. Once they reached Point Pleasant itself, supposedly the creature disappeared. They went to the sheriff. They were scared. They, you know, the sheriff had known these kids. He said it wasn't like them to lie or to come up with stories. I don't know. It's debated what they saw, but that's one version of it. Then there's actually the next night, because I believe they happened in the middle of November, the next night, there were actually several armed townspeople that were going through the TNT plant for signs of this alleged Mothman. Well, there was a family, a husband and wife, and a lady and her baby daughter, and they were actually going to visit their friends, which their friends lived in these sort of and they were like dynamite storage structures that were near where their plants lived. Their plants?
Their plants.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm talking about plants. No, guys, I'm sorry. No, their friends lived in these bungalows, and near there were these, like, TNT structures, these little domes they called igloos, I guess, back in World War II. So they were passing these, and they had gotten to the house or whatever, and they saw this as they were heading back to their car, they saw this thing like lying down near the back, and it slowly rose up from the ground, and they said it was large and gray with glowing red eyes. Well, they phoned the police, and as they were phoning police, supposedly the creature walked up onto the porch and stared at them through their window and just kept staring at them. And I mean, okay, that part kind of gave me the creeps a little bit because I was like, whoa, can you imagine you see this thing? You don't know if it's like some killer, some guy, some crazy thing. And all of a sudden it comes up and is staring at you through your window with these eyes and these wings. Like, what would you do? I don't know.
A friend.
I know. I would open the door and be like, I've got some warm apple cider. Would you like to come in and have some? Anyway, and this is that would be the end of Gore Girl. But anyway, so, I mean, there's tons of sightings. They supposedly saw this creature flying over the area. There was different townspeople who had their own individual stories. There were sketchings made. You know, the sheriff was overwhelmed by calls. People were turning in drawings that the children had made of seeing this creature flying over the house. A lady had seen it in her backyard. People that had passed the plant had seen it. Supposedly it was chasing people. Oh my God. Then there's apparently a story of, This was like a giant parapsychological event because there were so many things happening, and there's so many speculations as to what went on. Was it poltergeist activity? Was it just wild animals? Was it mutant, something human or animal mutation? Oh, my God, the list was endless. They were saying it was like misidentification, coincidence, all sorts of things. Well, there was tons of sightings, and the town was crazy with these things for the whole year. There's apparently a man that used to receive phone calls. Oh, God, I forgot the name now. He used to receive phone calls, and supposedly they were from the other side. There was some sort of entity that was calling him, and supposedly there was witnesses to this and things like that. So the whole town was in an uproar. They had no idea what was going on. They thought it was these cranes. There was these birds back then, and they thought it was they were just mistaking them for the cranes, and that you know, because supposedly these cranes were like 6-7 feet tall. They used to not flap their wings. They used to be able just to glide long distances. And supposedly they were saying that the red eye was just reflection from lights or things like that. Or people were misperceiving what they were seeing. They were just actually seeing these birds. But I don't know, just the stories were endless. There was all this, you know, apparent, you know, activity. And, I mean, it was just absolutely nuts. But the most infamous story about the Mothman is they believe that the Mothman used to appear right before tragic events would happen. And bad things were happening all over the town to people. So that this is where they were getting this idea. Well, the Mothman appeared, and apparently these phone calls, it was a whole big thing. And, I mean, really, unless you were there and you were part of it, do you really know truth from fiction? I mean, how can we, you know, there were so many contradicting ideas. There was books published for and against it. You know, people were credited and discredited. How do you really know unless you were there? So, I mean, so many stories, it's hard to get them all straight. But supposedly, Mothman caused the December 15, 1967 collapse of the Silver Bridge in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. That was a massive bridge collapse. It killed 40-something people. It was one of the most dangerous bridge collapses in history. Today, they say that it was just a loose eye bar that was stuck in the steel. They said that that gave way and caused the bridge collapse. But many people thought it was the Mothman. And what's actually funny is, well, to this day, nobody knows if the Mothman was real or not, or what people saw. There's so many books, so many things. It's a spooky story because Point Pleasant isn't the most populated of areas. There's woods. Like you said, there's the old World War II dynamite factory. I mean, just think of how scary it was. They came out a few years back with the Mothman Prophecies, which was a Richard Gere movie. Laura Linney was in it. And there was a lot of discrepancies. It was based on a book by Mr. Keel, who's actually one of the foremost authorities on the Point Pleasant Mothman experience. He's published tons of books during that time. But anyway, he actually wrote a book, and his definitive book about the Mothman was supposedly made into Mothman Prophecies. Well, there's totally so many differences. Obviously, you make a movie, Hollywood gets their hands on it, it's not going to be the same. So, of course, characters were taken out. You know, the Mothman played like a secondary role, wasn't even important anymore. They changed it where this voice on the phone was evil and all these things were happening. And they just totally made it seem more sinister than it actually was. It was just more fearful for the people because you see this thing and you don't know what it is. But what I thought was funny and why I wanted to bring it up is, okay, like I said, Batman, Mothman, I wanted to go with it because the images of Mothman resemble Batman somewhat. But last year, I don't know if everybody remembers this. Remember we had all those bridge collapses? We had the Minneapolis bridge collapsing on August 1st. Right before that, the California bridge collapsed July 31st. There was another big one overseas that collapsed. All these bridge collapses were happening last summer in like a three-month period of time. And I swear to God, my phone never lit up so much. Everybody was calling me, oh, my God, you think it's the Mothman? Everybody in the paranormal community went nuts. It's the Mothman. It's the Mothman. Oh, my God, it's the Mothman. It was insane. It was hysterical. It was fun. I was like, ooh, it could be. You know, I mean, obviously, I didn't, you know, truly believe it, but I thought, wouldn't it be cool if it was? Because, you know, that'd be kind of cool, reinstating this old legend. But, guys, that is the gist of the story of the Mothman. And like I said, we kind of crammed that into the time we had. But we will definitely have guests on and things that will talk more in depth about Mothman. But he is a central figure in the paranormal community. He is a big myth. People have chased him, have chased the truth. The Silver City Bridge collapse is infamous now because of it. There's Mothman Festival every year where people come from all over to celebrate and just to explore these grounds where these accusations have happened. So it's a terrifying story, guys, especially if you read some of the instances and some of the occurrences people have had with the Mothman late at night. It'll give you a chill. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of talk about that to go with the Batman theme of our show. But we are running out of time, and we're down to seconds. I like being down to the wire. I can handle pressure, but unlike certain people that play Batman. But anyway, moving on, no big deal. Thank you guys for tuning in to our Batman extravaganza. Go see The Dark Knight. Everybody have a nice night. I don't care. Eat human flesh. Save a couple severed heads for me and you guys later. Next week, we'll be bringing you a brand new spanking show with some crazy stuff going on. So stay tuned to the hysterical and crazy ramblings of myself and my techie Yed. And, yeah, beware of the Mothman.